Welcome to Belly Dance Talk Radio. With your host, Megan Maeda Hashem. Hi everyone, welcome to Belly Dance Talk Radio. I'm your host, Megan Maeda Hashem.
And I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Christina. Hi Christina.
Hi.
Hi.
So, what's been going on?
Well, after IVCC, I started getting ready for all the summer festivals and all my groups performing at those, so that's been
great.
Summer means lots of performing outdoors, which is fun.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Getting out there.
Yeah.
Getting seen.
Yeah, for sure. Exposure.
Exposure, that's what I need.
Yeah. So, and there's lots of belly dancers at all these festivals. It's awesome. Like, it's really getting out there. It's totally getting mainstream.
Yeah, it's not uncommon to go to a festival and see more than one different belly dance troupe there.
Yeah.
Which is great, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people getting a lot of exposure. And for the public, right, to get a lot of exposure to what belly dance is and isn't and all that good stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think the more that people see belly dance, I think it also attracts more people to try it and...
Yeah, for sure.
Learn and give it a try, and it's one of those things that I think when people see it, they're certainly have a reaction one way or another. For a lot of women, I think it's, wow, I want to do that, I want to try that.
Yeah.
And some people get hooked after they've tried it.
Yeah, and then we have more and more belly dancers, which is awesome. It grows our community.
Exactly.
And I remember when I first started belly dancing, it was like nothing like this.
No.
Hard to find even just one teacher,
yeah.
And shows were few and far between.
Yeah, totally.
And getting any supplies or like costumes or anything like that, we just pieced together our own sequin bras and harem pants and stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you had a bunch of costumes from Egypt when you were a student.
They just weren't accessible.
Yeah. There were none. I just bought from my teacher really secondhand
costumes. They kept getting
costumes.
Yeah, recycled. And
yeah, recycled. I still have some.
Yeah.
From my first teacher.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so very different times now.
Absolutely, totally different. And it's great in so many ways because there is access to... You know, there are so many teachers out there, so many different styles. There is access to costumes and, you know, silk veils, every color and size and all kinds of, you know, props and great things that the dancers use. So it's kind of a double-sided coin because there's all the great positive things that come from that and having that really strong community, having access to information and to each other. And then at the same time, though, that can really, the ease with which people can access information also can mean that some of the passion that you needed to have in the past to move ahead with your, you know, study of the dance and your commitment to it, you don't necessarily have to have that passion.
I know, it's all just handed to you. Almost, sort of.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, you know.
There's YouTube clips, there's costumes, really affordable costumes from Egypt coming in all the time.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, if we can just talk about costumes for a second, like, I mean,
yeah,
that I think is something that kind of can, I don't know, like shiny things in certain people kind of get, you know, hypnotizing or whatever.
Yeah. And then that's all people are
And that becomes the focus of dancing is collecting costumes.
Exactly.
And there are, you know, many fabulous dancers who have totally committed themselves to, you know, dancing and to just studying dance and just they live for it and they have tons of costumes.
Yes.
But the strange thing is that there are probably as many, if not more, dancers who really have not approached dancing with any of that kind of commitment or focus and probably have 10 times more costumes.
Yeah, I find that odd.
It's fun,
but you want to back it up, right? Like, for me, I mean, I'm an exception, probably. I'm really not a big costume person. I have, like, the same costume I had when I was, I don't know, 16. I'm still wearing it. That's pretty bad. But it's been through a lot, and it was secondhand when I bought it, right? But I remember last summer, I started borrowing costumes from you just to dazzle the belly dancers because I feel like it does make people take notice. They're like, oh my God, the costume. And it's like not about the dance sometimes. It's just about, look what costume you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it odd but interesting experiment that I did. And everyone noticed. Everyone's like, wow, where's that costume from? And that's nice. I'm happy people like costumes. That's cool. But then what about, hey, that was an awesome dance. Where did that step come from?
Choreography.
That music was awesome. Or like there's so many other things to think about. I think I'm way too far the other way, probably. And I just don't think about costumes enough, probably. But then there's people who are the total opposite, who just are like, what costume am I going to wear?
Yeah.
I've heard people say, well, I don't want to do that dance because I don't like that costume. And I'm just like,
really?
What? What about the dancing? So costumes are one thing. And then there's so many other things that are so accessible that, like, we were talking before we started this show, we were talking about videos and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We used to, like, study, like, those old Fifi Abdu videos and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I used to just, like, replay the same dance
over and over again.
And I cherish it. It was, like, a special thing. Like, before shows, I'd pump myself up by watching some famous belly dancer on a video. Old school.
Yeah. And now, I mean, it's just, you
they're everywhere.
YouTube is just filled with it, which, in, again, like, these
which
things
are all
pros and cons.
It's also, if you have too much of it around, I think sometimes you don't cherish it as much. It's like, you can get it any time. It's not just you go and rent this video at an Arabic video store or something
and
like
study
that.
Study it and try and soak it up and absorb it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's very different.
Very different.
And I mean, I think that it can be something that people use to really advance their dancing, or it can kind of just allow people to just kind of coast and focus on very superficial things.
Yeah. And then there's the music.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, belly dancers who don't like Middle Eastern music and stuff. I don't get it. I get it if you're a fusion artist. I'm not talking about tribal and fusion and all that. I'm talking about, like, Oriental cabaret Egyptian belly dancers who are like, I don't really like that type of music. And I'm like, well, what? Okay. Then you should be doing something else, because the music, I just feel, maybe it's just me, but for me, I feel like the music is such an integral part of the dance. Like, you need to, I don't know, I feel like you need to love that music to dance to, and you need to listen to it a lot. That's the other thing, like, listening to Arabic music, right? Like,
I think it comes,
I don't know.
Back to basics, really, right? Like, what are the basics? And really, when it comes down to it, things like the costumes and the hair pieces, you know, don't really, they're not part of the basics.
No, those are like, once you're, I don't know, to me, I feel like that's once you're, like, really good, you have a good grounding, you're ready to do something with your good grounding of basic dance and music and all that, then you start thinking about those extras, right? Like,
right.
I don't know, that's just
I think because we kind of came through it around the same time.
Yeah, we're old school that way.
Yeah, just curious and that way.
Yeah. Yeah, so the music, I think it's so important. I find it weird when people hear live music and they're like, I don't know, I'd rather just see some dancing. Like, for example, like at the Arabesque shows, we go to them and I hear dancers less and less. Now, I think they're getting drawn in, hopefully, which is awesome and positive, and I hope that's happening. But I used to hear people say, oh, you gotta sit through that whole piece of music. You don't see the girls in costumes and this. And I'm like, but what about the beautiful music? It's like this amazing orchestra that you never get to hear anywhere in Toronto, and now you're hearing it and you're complaining that you're not seeing some dancers
for granted.
For now.
Yeah. I think it's just,
I don't know,
it's like so many other things nowadays with ease of access to information and everything else, that it makes it easy to skip past the basics and go right to, you know, the shiny, flashy parts that hypnotize and mesmerize people. And that's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. That's really
upsetting. I want to bring
that.
It all back.
Yeah, and to hear that from, you know, people that you hope are appreciating, you know, dancing as an art form and are supposedly ambassadors of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think also what goes along with this, I don't know how you feel about this, I think people who, I do teach a bunch of crazy combos, I'm known for my crazy combos, but I think it's weird when dancers just want crazy combos, and they don't want any refinement of, like, say they can't do
the
a
basics.
Trick kick. They want to do a hip kick. Amazing. And they want to do, like, a crazy, insane, whatever. So I know with my students, I try to go back to basics every now and then. Like, oh, no one can do a shimmy walk. We better work on that. Like,
let's and I'll bet you nobody has the patience for it. Or few people have the patience.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think my students are getting better because I preach about this all the time. But other people I know would probably just be like, I don't want to do shimmy walk in your advanced class or something like that. But when, yeah, when the whole class can't do it, it's like, listen. Yeah. Yeah. You should be able to do a shimmy walk.
Yeah,
there's certain steps. I just feel like belly dancers should be able to undulate. They should be able to hip
and why would
be able to shimmy walk.
Why
know?
Would it be any different than any other art, you know, kind of dance form?
Yeah.
Where, or art form. You know, musicians, you could be, you know, an amazing concert pianist, and you know what? You still do your scales.
Exactly.
Your
and that's
you
the
know,
thing
ballet dancers
don't
are,
do.
You know, the at the top of their game still,
yeah,
you know,
still do their
take
drills
their basic
and,
class.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, why should it be any different?
Yeah, I used to have that class. It was called Back to Basics, and it was just that. And it was really, it was popular for a while there, because I think a lot of people don't do that. They just, and I'm guilty of it too, of course, as a teacher. Like, just like, oh, I want to dazzle everyone with my new combo or something, or I want to teach this combo, so it's a selfish thing. I want to teach this combo. But then you start looking in the middle of the combo, and you see, oh, the shimmies are too tight. No one can shimmy, or something like that. And you need to be like, let's take a step back and make sure everyone can use their hips properly before we do this crazy combo. So I think it's just seeing things like that and even seeing it in yourself. Like, I know I went for a class with my original teacher, Yasmina, and I went for a private with her once, and I was off in my own world for years, I guess, and I was doing all my crazy combos and doing all this stuff. And then I did a twist walk in a choreography with her, and she was like, you can't do a twist walk. And like, it was a sobering, it was a dose of reality. I was like, that's awesome. Like, I love to hear that. I mean, I don't love to hear I can't do a twist walk, but it's great to like, just like, okay, take it back a bit, Megan. Do a proper forward twist walk, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think that's important for everyone to be thinking about in belly dance, just to up our art form, like to be able to not look like crazy people doing combos and you can't even do the basic steps they're based on, right?
Oh,
it will help your combos.
It'll help
learning,
everything.
If you're learning basic. And I think, like, often, if you can just go out and perform a great hip kick, people are impressed. Like, you don't need to be. Sometimes there's no need. I mean, if you look at the old belly dancers like Nagua Fouad and Fifi Abdu, they're not doing, you know, four different steps all crazy. They're just doing, you know, 16 counts of hip kick.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And there's a quality to it.
Yeah,
right, about
exactly.
The enjoyment of of the movement.
And the music.
There is nothing worse in the world to me than watching someone dance, not just belly, any kind of
dance.
Where all you see coming through is how hard they're trying to do steps.
It's
a phase that everybody goes
through. Of course,
But, you know, at a certain point with performing, that's the last thing you want to be conveying to your audience.
Yeah, it should look easy.
Yes.
So I guess make sure your hip kicks look easy and enjoy that music.
The moral of the story.
I don't know what the moral is here, but easy hip kicks. Yeah. So, belly dance world is different. I think it's just being aware, maybe, of these things.
Yeah, I think all the flash and belly dance kind of lends itself well to people kind of wanting to skip through and get to the part where you wear a shiny costume and
get all made up and
a fake hair ponytail on
and
you know, do all that glamour. So I think it kind of attracts.
It's true, like people want to do a professional show in one private or something, like, hey, can you teach me a whole show I can perform at my uncle's wedding, you know, in one private? Like, that happens a lot, right?
You could do a lot of things, it doesn't mean you should. They're good ideas.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And then can I borrow a costume for it?
A shiny one?
That's the other thing. When I bring out costumes, sometimes at student recitals or something like that, I bring out, for me, I think they're nice student costumes, right? And my students laugh at them sometimes, and they're like, what? Don't you have something nicer? And I'm like, what? I don't get it. It's a nice skirt and hip scarf and a little bra. What's going on? But I think they've seen so much of the other stuff, like beautiful professional Egyptian costumes, and students have them often. So they see that, and my beginner students or something are like, Where's my beautiful Egyptian costume?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I mean, I just had a sale this week. I'm getting rid of all those student costumes because no one wants to wear them. Me, I used to be like, oh my God, I get to put on a headscarf and a coin bra. That's so exciting.
I feel a little bit like, you know, we're talking about the old days where you had to walk uphill to school both ways.
True. I talk like that to my students. I think I'm like an old, you know, belly dance mom or something. Because I'm like, this is a beautiful student costume. Like, you know, what's wrong with it? I used to wear like leggings and a hip skirt in student showcases. This is a skirt and bra. What? But yeah, it's a new age. Maybe I need to move on.
Age of instant gratification.
Yeah. We're old, I guess. We're getting up there. But, you know, that's good.
Hey, if you can do it, if you can learn a, you know, professional show in one private,
that's
one power
awesome.
To you.
That's terrific. And be in a professional Egyptian costume in your first student showcase.
Yeah, and get out there and start, you know, charging for shows.
Yeah.
Railway.
And that happens, right? Yeah. Okay, well, on that note, what do you think me and Will should talk about this episode?
Oh.
I'm looking for a topic. I put it on Facebook.
Oh,
no one's given us an idea.
You and Will.
I don't know. We're trying to find, because I think tonight we're going to record after
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know.
You've tackled belly dance, like, relationship issues.
I think we could just talk about that every episode.
I do.
Probably.
I think you guys could actually kind of...
We could have a call-in
section. Keep that
maybe.
Going. Have you done... I'd be interested in sort of a play-by-play of, like, what goes through, you know, Will or anyone like Will, kind of the other person, the non-dancer in the relationship.
Yeah.
The play-by-play. What goes through their mind as they're... driving with you to a show.
I don't know if I want to know that.
And they're waiting while you go off and get ready for the show.
Oh,
as you come out for the first time, the entrance.
Yeah.
While through the show, and you're getting people
up to
dance.
I don't know if I want
to
hear that.
And at the end of the show, while the audience is, you know, talking about it, you're off getting changed.
In Arabic, saying all
finally when you come
things.
Out and you leave together. I mean, really, those sort of those phases of the show.
Yeah, Will hasn't taken me to a show for years, so maybe he wouldn't even remember what he...
I think it might have made enough of an impression.
Probably. All those years. I don't know if I want to hear that. Any other ideas, Christina?
Okay.
Do you have something else?
Maybe, what do you think about belly dance fashions today? Belly dance costume fashion.
Maybe we could pull up some, like, Dina costumes. Like the one
go
with the
song. Slide show.
And just, like, discuss them.
Yeah. You know, to the minimalist look that, you know, sometimes has going on.
That would be interesting,
on,
actually.
You know?
That would be good. Yeah.
Leg, pants. You know, hey.
Yeah.
You know, these
pants.
Yeah.
There's lots of things going on.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I'd like to.
Okay, well, maybe I'll tell him about that. He's ready to talk about anything, I think. So we'll see. Okay, well, it's been awesome, Christina, talking to you, and I guess we'll be back next month on Belly Dance Talk Radio. If you want to hear us ramble on about anything, I guess give us an email at mayada@rogers.com or post on the Belly Dance Talk Radio Facebook page. So we'd love to hear from you, and till next month, signing off, I guess.
Bye.
So stay with us, and we'll be right back. Belly Up Belly Dance Studio of Oakville is excited to announce their second studio location opening this spring in Kitchener-Waterloo. Join Jahara in Kitchener every Thursday night, and Valazan for ATS every Wednesday night, plus a whole slew of great classes and workshops for all levels at both locations. Belly Up is dedicated to offering the best in Egyptian dance training. For details, visit bellyup.ca. Belly Up, for belly dance that moves you. I now have the great honor of chatting to international belly dance superstar Jelena. Welcome to Belly Dance Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Really good. I'm actually in Los Angeles. at home, so it's a nice change from being on the road.
Awesome, yeah. So what are you up to? Like, I'm sure everyone wants to know what Chelina does in a regular day. Why don't you tell us what you're, like, when you're at home, what are your days like?
Well, for example, today is I hit the gym for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a nice little workout. I try to do some cross training when I'm home to kind of keep my strength and, you know, and my stamina up for when I am on the road. So,
right.
Hit the gym this morning, and then I'm back here doing a little bit of administrative work on my computer, answering emails and stuff like that. And then later today, I'll actually be I'm going to go through a bunch of the Belly Dance Evolution costumes. I've got to count everything, wash, and repack everything for the next tour.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Yeah, I do a lot of, like, kind of like a lot of hands-on stuff, so.
Yeah, that's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, and yesterday was a great dance day. I worked with our new tribal choreographer, Heather Schutman.
Mm-hmm.
So I met with her for a couple hours. And worked on a bunch of choreographies for Belly Dance Evolution. We're adding tribal to the show. So, yeah, it's kind of exciting. I didn't add it in the beginning much because it's not my field, it's not my specialty. So when I felt like I was ready for it, I, you know, brought somebody in who's really specialized in it, and it's been really fun. So I just kind of rehearsed with my local dance company, the Safala Dancers, in the evening.
Right. Okay, well, since we're talking about Belly Dance Evolution, why don't we just talk a bit more about that? Because I think that's an amazing idea. I love your YouTube clips of the making of and everything. Those are amazing.
I look back at too, like, oh yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Crazy things that are happening.
Yeah, and I think anyone who hasn't seen those should really definitely check them out. They're so interesting. They're on YouTube. So you have your new show.
Yeah, I started Belly Dance Evolution. I started the dance company, I guess, almost 4 years ago.
Right.
Just under 4 years ago. And we did, we ran a show called Immortal Desires. It was our first and toured that around the world for a couple of years.
Right.
And now we're on our second show, our second, series. And it's something really totally different. It's called Dark Side of the Crown.
Yeah.
And it's a murder mystery comedy extravaganza. It's really unexpected type of belly dance production. It's been fun. I hired a really good writer, interesting story and new concepts, and collaborating with really good and talented people. It's great.
Right, and you're all over the place with it now?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, so far, Evolution has toured through,
it looks like everywhere, like, yeah.
Multiple Europe, we've been to Bali, Taiwan, China, South America, we've been to Venezuela, Argentina, Mexico, we're going to hit D.C. and New York coming up in July. So it's kind of fun to do a little bit of work in the United States. And, of course, my hometown, Los Angeles, we usually do, like, it kind of turns out to be, like, the first and last run of a series of a show. So that's been fun. And now we're kind of revisiting a bunch of the places that we've been to in addition to hitting a few new locations. So now that we've got the new show coming up, people are inviting us back and...
Of course, yeah. Awesome. And with all this traveling, how do you... I guess, have balance in your life. How do you do that? Being at home, then traveling. You travel, I don't know, like most weekends, eh? Like, I'm looking at your schedule, and it's very hectic, eh?
Yeah, you know, I'm traveling a little bit less than what I used to travel.
Right.
Believe it or not. But, yeah, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that I definitely need to have more balance in my life. So
right. When
I come home, I try not to schedule tons of work.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of like dance classes or workshops or things when I'm in LA. So I have my work. I'm working with new choreographies or behind the scenes stuff. But I try to balance. Like I really try to set up like personal time. Like I do this thing with my husband called mystery dates. So once or twice a week, one of us will come up with a new and interesting fun activity and surprise the other person. Even if it's something simple like a hike.
Yeah.
In an interesting place and a new restaurant or, you know, take him to the ballet or musical.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
Kind of fun. That's the relationship a lot, I have to say.
Yeah.
And then trying to spend time with my family, trying to have personal time, taking yoga classes is really important for me. Being on the receiving end is very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Recharging. So speaking of your husband, does he ever travel with you or does he stay home?
He does travel with me, not all the time.
Right.
Because he has a career. So, yeah. So he's like, I can't
just follow you around.
With his belly dance stuff, he's laughing about it.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing I'm trying to find balance with. So when I find it's going to be a nice weather and a beautiful location, I'll try to plan a couple days before or after my event, and then my husband will join me, and then we get to have a little vacation, and then I also get to see a place. A lot of times
I'm
just flying in, I see the airport, the hotel, the theater, then back to the airport again.
Right.
So it's been nice to be able to kind of explore these cities and spend time with my husband too. So that's been kind of fun. We've been doing that a little bit more in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. And just for people who aren't familiar with what exactly Belly Dance Evolution is, do you want to just give a little brief idea of what the whole, because it's a really amazing concept, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixture of a couple different things. One, I had worked with Belly Dance Superstars for about 7 years from the beginning of that production, and it was a great experience and traveled and, learned a lot. But I just kind of felt like I was doing the same thing. I needed to evolve. I needed to kind of switch it up. And it was, it was really risky because it was really safe being there. I had popularity. I had, the fame. And so kind of branching out and doing something on my own was risky. But artistically, I had to do it. I needed to change things up. So I wanted to do an idea of a belly dance production with a storyline. So that was something, the first kind of idea about getting something new and different and innovative and working with writers and acting coaches and things like that for storytelling.
Right. So,
much like a ballet, there's no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Much like a ballet where there's a storyline bringing all the pieces together. The other thing is that I've been traveling all over the world teaching workshops and seeing dancers from different parts of the world. Seeing amazing, amazing talent from girls who live in, small villages and, don't really have access to doing big productions or shows, and thinking of ways that I could work with them and also to get exposure for them.
Yeah.
People have to know about you.
Yeah.
So then I started this online competition for casting, and the original idea was just local casting. So if I went to Mexico, I would cast Mexican dancers, and if I went to New York, I would cast, dancers from New York or the surrounding area, and it sort of turned into a worldwide, people from all over the world wanted to join different competitions.
Right.
So I was like, okay, yeah, that's awesome. So the first one, we had a girl from Australia, a girl from Japan, a girl from Czech Republic, from different parts of the United States, we're going to D.C. and New York, and we have girls from Italy, girls from South America, of course, girls from all over the United States, Texas, New York, D.C., who are auditioning. So it's been, what's been really nice that has come out of that, just the original idea of having, an inexpensive way for dancers to upload their videos, and get some exposure, and then for me to cast them.
Yeah.
See if they're, capable of doing choreography for the show and seeing their personal style with their solo work. It's also turned into a nice little network for them because I also encourage them to, I've got girls from Italy who have in South America who are meeting, and then they've done an exchange where they've invited each other to, to their country, to their personal festival.
Cool, yeah.
So they've kind of got to take that next step of getting involved and doing workshops and shows and kind of getting on the circuit, Sometimes you just need someone to open that door for you.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Something that I've been really proud of, and I don't have anything to do with it financially or, I just kind of watch it through Facebook. and the girls who are really outstanding, they get those opportunities, and people recognize their talent and invite them. It's been really interesting to see how that's evolved for them as well. It's a whole little network of dancers from around the world. So we call it our Belly Dance Evolution family.
Yeah, yeah, that's so nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's a storyline show, and it's also through this casting competition that's kind of just evolved into something much bigger than I really had expected.
Yeah, that's magical always, eh? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay, well, I have a few listener questions. Belly Dance Talk Radio listeners have written in. And Amara wants to know, what is your favorite thing about being a belly dancer? One thing.
Self-expression. I think, because I did other dance forms like Western dance and hip-hop, jazz, and, a little bit of ballet. But in Oriental dance, it's traditionally done as a soloist. And there's so much room for self-expression, choosing your music, choosing the style, whether it's pure Egyptian or tribal. The costuming, oftentimes you design your own costumes and you put your own personal touch into each design and choreography and musical choice. So for me, that is the thing that really attracts me to it and continues to attract me.
Right, yeah. Okay, and I have one more from Anuka saying, any chance you'll be bringing the Belly Dance Evolution show to Canada? That's where we're at. So
I don't have a date, and I don't have any agencies there yet.
Okay.
If you know of it.
We'll start bugging some people, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
I haven't worked a lot in Canada recently, but it's a great market. Somebody asked me once, which is your favorite place to perform? And I said, this might sound unusual, but Canada is an amazing audience.
Yeah, we are amazing.
Really reactive. Yeah, really reactive.
Yeah, and we love you here, so, yeah. Okay, well, hopefully soon. Hopefully we'll be seeing Belly Dance Evolution here soon.
I'm getting up to New York. It's not quite...
That's close. Getting there.
Step by step.
All right, we'll keep talking about that. And I wanted to ask you this at the start, just how exactly you got into belly dance. So I know you did other styles of dance, and then what was your first exposure to belly dance? Who was your first teacher? What drew you to it, I guess?
Well, I was always exploring different dance. I was mostly into hip-hop. That was kind of my obsession for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always trying new things. I tried flamenco classes and salsa and folk dances, and I was always taking classes and experimenting. And I signed up for a belly dance class, and I just fell in love with it. And my first teacher was a woman named Diane Weber, and then her sort of protege, Marianne Kappa, who did really Turkish cabaret style.
Mm-hmm.
The floor work, the karşılama at the end.
Right.
So that was really my first training, and it was a really good training. I mean, I don't, I still use those skills now, but it's not really my style.
Right.
But it was great skills because we had to do a lot of improvisation work, and we had to perform in front of the teacher and in front of the rest of the class every other week.
Oh, wow.
We had to get up and perform, and then, yeah, it was tough because Diane, where she would critique you right on the spot. She would stop the music and be like, your zills are totally off and your wig is falling off. It doesn't fit you right. So you get all that feedback. It was horrifying in the moment. But
great, yeah.
You hear the other dancers getting the feedback. So you knew when you went up, you better really get your zills together. You really better get, your costume and all the details. But it gave me a really strong confidence and performance skills. So that was like the first introduction, and then I started working in some of the restaurants, and I got this really amazing gig at this a famous Lebanese restaurant called Casablanca. It was on Sunset Boulevard, and they were having famous singers like Wael Kafouri and Sabah and amazing artists coming in, and I was like really young and green, and I didn't really know how I got the job, but I knew that I had to kind of step up my game. Working with live musicians, and I got an Egyptian style teacher to help me like learn all the songs and kind of working with canes and
right.
Not doing so much flopping. It was just in transition.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And I'll just end this interview with: do you have any advice or tips for dancers who want to be a super successful professional belly dancer like you?
You know, it's important to be well-rounded. It's more than just learning the steps and having good technique.
Mm-hmm.
I think having a good understanding of the culture of where it comes from, understanding the music, understanding the rhythms, understanding the language of the songs that you're going to dance to, whether it's Arabic or Turkish or Farsi. You know, having a really good foundation of all of those things, I found it really helpful. And as a teacher, it's important. If you're going to be out there teaching,
mm-hmm.
you want to have this knowledge and information. And nowadays, you know, these young dancers have all this information available on the internet. You know, I didn't have that when I started. You know, I had the VHS tape.
Yes, actually, it's so funny. We were just talking about this at the start of the show, me and my co-host. So weird. This is exactly what we were talking about. Yeah, like the tons of information out there now. And how we used to like stare at VHS tapes, just replay them over and over.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah.
Doing that. And then, you know, training, putting in the time, you know, repetition is the mother of skill.
Yeah.
If you want to be really good at something, you got to spend time working on it. Even when you get really good and you get famous,
yeah.
you can't stop. You can't just stop there. You've got to keep training. You've got to keep exploring. And you have to keep your technique up. So that's my advice.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Keep doing too. I got to encourage
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on Belly Dance Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to Canada soon.
Yes. We will get you to Canada. We're going to put that word out there.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Bye, okay. Jelena. See you. Mayada's Belly Dance and Fierce Fitness, located downtown Toronto, Canada. Belly dance classes of all levels taught by Mayada herself, as well as all your fitness needs. First class is free. www.mayada.ca, www.fiercefit.ca. Hope to see you at the studio soon.
Do you even know what this song means?
Yeah, they all mean the same thing.
Like, do you really know what she's trying to say here?
It's something about love, for sure.
Nah. Well, I mean, it's got some love in it, but it's not exactly...
I can hear that. See, I picked that out.
No, she's saying, حُبِّ إِيهِ اللي انت جاي تقول عليه, right? Which means, what is this love that you're talking about? Do you even know what the word love means? Or do you even know what love means before you even start talking about it?
See, I knew it was about love, though, right?
Yeah.
All Arabic songs are about love, and I want you, but I can't have you. And basically, I just know the meaning of all songs.
That's pretty much it. You have a general, you know...
That's every song.
That's the stereotype, you know, that you give to all Arabic songs that they all... But they don't. I mean, this one happened
this
to have the word
love
in it. But
what other one isn't about love?
There's a lot.
Like
the sad ones we were talking about.
It's all about eyes and love. And
there's a lot of eyes. There's a lot of hearts. There's a lot of hair involved. There's a lot of looks and feelings. But, you know, when you put them all, you know.
Put them all together, they're all about the same.
Yeah, but they can mean all, you know, different things in different situations and stuff, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, here we go. Right? Now let's just enjoy the rest of the song. There is about an hour and a half left in it.
Gotta love that. Welcome back to Belly Dance Talk Radio. I'm now joined by Will, our resident Arab man.
Hi.
So today, me and Will, we're going to be talking about belly dance and the Arabic language and how it can help you, some phrases to know, and stuff about music.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's get going.
Okay. So it is important to know some Arabic.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to be a professional Arabic speaker or something, but it helps to kind of have some...
Yeah, just so you at least know the basics of what, you know, people might say to you during your show.
You know, so you have you can respond properly
mm-hmm.
to the different, you know, Arabic shoutings or,
you know. All that excitement at your show.
Right.
Yeah, so let's start with, I know when I first started dancing, I used to hear people, the band would announce me, and I'd just hear, blah, 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 Mayada!
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were saying. Now I know, of course, after years and years, yeah. I kind of got into what they were saying. I know what they're saying. But let's let anyone else know who might not know exactly what the band, because usually the band says a kind of common thing.
It is. It's a very generic introduction to the belly dancer. Which pretty much, you know, in simple words, it says, you know, and now, ladies and gentlemen, we have the, you know, Middle Eastern dance number presented to you by the beautiful, you know, Mayada.
Right. Yeah. You know, say it in Arabic.
Okay.
So much better.
All right. Well, it's gonna sound, you know, something similar to this. Well, and Sayyidati Anisati Sadati ma faqra min al raqs al sharqi. والرقيصة الحسناء ميادة.
Whoa, that was good. Okay, so that's the start of the show. Then what about when people are yelling out things at you in your show? So what are some common things that are normal? So people are like, yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. Yay, when they hear someone yell at
them. Well, you know, I think Arabs will tend to yell different words, you know, depending on what the music is like.
Right.
For example, if you know, if it's like some taqseem, right, and it's like a slow movement, you'll hear different words than when it's like a big, you know, like saidi,
right,
you know, or baladi beat, right? You'd hear like other words that, you know, that would describe the
so
atmosphere.
You're keeping us in suspense. What are the words?
Well, it's kind of hard to. I gotta. Why don't you maybe do a show and then.
We're
then,
back on that. Come
yeah.
on. Well, come
and,
on.
And then, you know, and then once I'm in the mood, you'll hear me just shouting.
I will just
shouting
videotape
out.
That
yeah.
or record it for our listeners here. yeah. Okay,
well,
I'll start dancing. Here I go.
You'd hear a lot of, you know, of course, the most famous, you know, Aywa, you know, or Yalla, or...
Right, and well, give us an exact definition. I know a lot of people know these, but maybe not everyone. So, and they get blurred. Sometimes people think, oh, yeah, I know that means something good. What does it? So give us the exact
meaning of it?
Yeah.
Well, Aywa is like, okay, you know, like, and Yalla is like, okay, let's go, you know? So
so they are.
So they're waiting for more, right? You know, they're shouting for you to show them more.
Isn't Aywa yes?
Aywa means yes, but it could also
yes.
mean like, yes, exactly. Yeah, like, all right, here we go, right?
Right.
And Yalla is, come on, more, you know?
Right.
And then it's, you'd probably, you know, you'd get some compliments that you're beautiful. You know, since I'm, you know, I was born and raised in Egypt, so my terminology would be more Egyptian. So what I would say next is more like of what Egyptians would say, right?
Okay.
They'll probably say, you know, what is this beauty? Or, you know, they would say,
okay, so
eh el halawadi, or eh el gamalda, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
And those mean?
What is this beauty? Oh, look at that beauty, right?
Okay. Anything else? Any other great things we should be listening for during our show?
That's pretty much it. I mean, it depends on how, I guess, drunk the man is, you know.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're probably quiet, you know, until they get into it, you know, halfway during the show, and then they start shouting, right? But, I mean, you'd see those men shouting, I guess, you know, single men, a group of guys would shout things out, but you wouldn't hear that from, like, a couple, right? Like, if it's a family.
No, but sometimes women shout things out. That's nice.
Yeah, but it's not so common, I don't think.
Sometimes.
No. Women would probably, you know, they would do the, you know, zagruta,
yeah.
You know, every now and
can
then.
Can you give us one?
I can't. I wish I could, but mine is terrible. I mean, yeah, it's...
You can't do any
no,
version
I think it's
of
really
it?
Weird for a man, you know, to hear the zagruta coming out of a man. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah. That's pretty much it.
Okay, so those are some things. Now, what about... music and knowing what your music is meaning and using appropriate music. So we've talked a bit about this.
Right. Well, see, the thing is, if you're dancing to a live band, right, the band would probably, you know, most likely play the most current popular music out there.
Yeah, or classic.
Or classic. But yeah, it depends. Exactly, yeah, for a belly dance show, because, you know, in belly dance, you have to have, like, an upbeat song, and then there's the classic song where you get to show your technique, which is pretty slow, and then the drum solo and whatnot, right?
Mm.
But then, you know, on the other hand, if you were dancing to a, if you have your own show, if you made your own CD, right,
mm-hmm.
and you brought that over, sometimes, I've seen a lot of shows, you know, in the past, 15 years. So, and I saw a lot of dancers that, would bring music with them that it's not appropriate. And what I mean by this is this, you know, I don't think they know exactly what the music is all about, and mm-hmm. they would be probably thinking that this is, it's an upbeat, you know.
Yeah, you just think it sounds good. Well,
happy.
I mean, we've had this discussion.
Yeah.
I've picked a song, and you've been like, why would you ever want to dance to that? Right?
Yeah, like, for example, I don't know the name of the song, but I've seen this dancer dancing to a song. I mean, the music of it is really nice, right? I mean, I think it was a melody beat.
I think it was like really rough Saidi.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like really, maybe it was like a rough, like...
Like a folkloric,
like, yeah,
I would
it was
say.
Very folky sounding.
Yeah.
It was, it sounded very, like, I can understand why the dancer would pick it.
Right, but...
It sounded really like, wow, because I was like, wow, that song was awesome, but of course I didn't know what it meant.
The music was good, the song was awesome, but yeah, only until I realized what the man was saying, and I was like, really? I mean, did she really pick that song? It was a very religious song, like all it talked about was the life of Prophet Muhammad and how he was born without a mother and his story and who adopted him and who breastfed him and in a very Saidi whatever, you know, beat, right? So I mean, I didn't know if I should be watching the show at that point. I'm like, you know, it took my whole mind off the show, and I felt like
when she's just like shaking around,
yeah,
something,
I mean,
about your prophet.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't bother going and telling her after the show because, you know,
right.
Because I bet she felt really good after the show and he didn't want to
kill
it for her.
Excited about it.
Right? So
this is the importance of kind of doing a little homework. If you don't know the song and it's not some popular, just like fun song,
research the meaning
of
it. Then
maybe find
out
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've heard lots of stories like this about people using really inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and sometimes, you know, like, it's because, you know, with the Arabic music, I mean, it could sound like it's a happy song.
I know, this happens a lot where I'm like, oh, this
but
is
then the lyrics,
like, oh,
is,
no.
Yeah, the lyrics, it's like somebody's dying and,
yeah, and
know?
People, and then the dancer's up there smiling
and
being all fun, yet the song's all, and not to, I mean, you could use that song, I guess, but it would have to be a dramatic, sad dance instead of.
Because even in a slow sad songs, in the middle of them you'll find like an upbeat in it, right?
Yeah.
And they go crazy in the upbeat part, right?
Yeah,
but then they think the slow part just to do some scene. But it's really sad, right? I mean, people sometimes will want to probably cry when they hear that song, yet there's a belly dancer shaking it.
Yeah.
The
belly dancer shaking it.
There
they're
you
really
go.
It's all about the art form. Here.
It's all the art form, right? I mean, they're worried about their technique, you know, to the music, but not, you know, they don't pay attention to the words,
the lyrics, yeah,
right,
yeah.
And I think that's very important, especially if they're singing the words too, right? So it's like, oh my goodness, she's actually singing the sad parts.
Okay, yeah, that's the other thing about lip syncing to songs. So,
right,
what are your feelings on, like, you know, non-Arabic dancers lip syncing like whole songs while they dance?
Look, when it comes to lip syncing, I really like to see a dancer lip syncing because it puts me, you know, in a different, like when I look at her dancing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I it makes me feel that she's really feeling the music.
Really? Oh, I feel the opposite.
But it depends. I mean, you know, I don't want to see a dancer. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. You know, lip syncing the whole song, you know, from beginning to end. But I'd like, you know, every now and then, like, there is a phrase that you know, that goes with the movement that she might
knows.
Say, like, you know, yeah, that she knows really well, right? You know, like, I don't know, something about eyes, you know?
Right.
If she's acting, because some dancers like to, you know, to put this, you know, acting with dancing.
Yeah, I don't like that.
At the same
so
time, right?
Either.
So if it's about eyes, and she's like, okay, Aynaya, you know, she's like pointing at her eyes. Or like, you know, she says, Albi, and then, you know, things like that, right? So, you know, like, make it nice and simple,
yeah,
right? That would do it, but I mean, don't go crazy trying to sing the whole song, because then I find like you're trying to pay attention to you know, to just lip syncing and not really dancing, you know what I mean?
But I just think you look like you're trying too hard when you're singing along, and really, you know, I see you're not Arabic. A lot of these dancers that lip sync, I don't even know that they know the words. They're just kind of lip syncing, or maybe they do. I think lip syncing is really, I'm different than you. I find it really, really distracting. And
I would find it distracting once again if it was through the whole show.
Even just anything. It annoys me when people act things out too, when they act like they're all tormented in the middle of a song. Bothers me. I'm like,
no,
I don't know.
Yeah, but at some drama. Parts, like, it would look more sexy. You know what I mean? If you saw.
I'm not sexy, that's the problem.
No, that's not it. But it would.
I don't do all that, like, pulling at my hair and like, I'm dramatic right now. I'm not into that. But, you know, some people do it well.
Yeah.
I don't love that. I just like to, you know.
Well, I guess it depends on your personality. If you're into acting and drama.
I think I'm not into acting.
You can do that, right? So you can lip sync and act at the same time, right? But if you're not into acting, then it's not. You know, it wouldn't be for you to.
Because sometimes it looks really bad acting, I guess I'm thinking. Yeah. Like, you know, you see it when people are, like, putting it on too much. And I'm like, I don't know.
And that's what it looks like. You're trying too hard.
Yeah, but
if it just comes out natural, then that's
but
fine.
I don't know. You know? Okay, yeah. So we have a difference of opinions there. So you're saying lip syncing's okay, but just some of the time.
Some of the time.
If you know what
appropriate
you're
times, yes. Yeah. I mean, pick the right, you know, sentence with the right move.
But I think then people just pick up a word, like some word that we were just talking about, and just like, that's their thing. I know that means heart, so I'm going to always touch my heart and look really whatever whenever I hear it. Like, I just find that weird. It's like, oh, you've learned one word, so now you're acting it out.
Well,
do you think that's cool?
I think it's okay.
Yeah, you're good
with fine.
That.
I think it's fine. You know, but like you see sometimes, I've seen belly dancers, like when the song says, you know, like, for example, if there's a part that says, oh, yeah, Habibi, and then she'd be, like, pointing at someone, right? So it's like there's a dialogue between her.
Between her and an audience member,
right?
I can handle that. It's just when they're, like, I think the heart stuff bothers me, or, like, when they're, like, in pain.
Yeah.
Or making painful looks.
I don't think anyone wants to see someone.
No,
because
it's like entertaining, unless it's some big theatrical production they're doing. But when you're at a restaurant, I don't know if I want to see a belly dancer in a lot of turmoil.
No, yeah. You know, but I like to see some dancer, like, you know, interacting with audience.
Yeah,
like, you know,
of course.
If it's an upbeat and, you know, the Saidi beat is coming, and she's like, okay,
she's like, okay, you know.
Yalla, she can say the basic words, you know what I mean, to them, to get the audience going, right?
Yeah.
You know? So that's always good.
I think just sometimes dancers can show they know, like, I think sometimes dancers really want to, they feel the need to show they know the music to Arabs, right? Like, I know this song, and I want you to know I know it. And I think that's why sometimes the actions and lip-syncing come in.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you really know that music and it's a complex song, it's a, like, some really difficult song that, like, not everyone would just know everything from, if you're dancing to it nicely, like, and you're hitting all those right beats, all those off beats and stuff, I feel like then they see that you know the music. You don't need to do all these, like, exterior weird things if you're, like, really feeling the beat and feeling it, you know, when the rhythm changes, you're changing, things like that. Like, I feel like it's just back to all the, I don't know.
I think, you know, like, even as Arabs, when we just get up and dance to this music, we always sing with them, right?
Well, of course, but that's a little different. I think when you speak Arabic fluently, it's a little different if you're singing along than if you just learned a few words and now you're singing along. I'm not sure. I don't really love that. But
who knows? Maybe that.
I guess we're all trying to be more like Arabs.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she does know
maybe
it
she doesn't
fluently.
Know. Yeah.
But Which is a great idea. Dancers should learn Arabic fluently. I should get on that.
Well, all I'm trying to say is, you know, if you're making your own show, make sure you know what you're dancing to and what the lyrics
the
say,
lyrics,
right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're planning.
Write into us if you want some help on that.
Yeah.
We'll translate some stuff.
I would love to. Yeah. I mean, especially if you're planning
to.
My
students are always asking me, can you ask him what this means? And, you know, we can give you the gist of it. So, yeah, if you have any song you're wondering about, maybe send us an email.
Right.
At Belly Dance Talk Radio, mayada@rogers.com.
Okay.
And just send us some things you're wondering about. Maybe we can talk about them on air here.
Right.
Yeah.
And make sure you don't pick a religious song today.
No religious songs.
No religious songs.
We should put that song on our radio show, just like
I don't
with
even,
an
I've,
X through it.
I've
like,
never,
do not use.
Yeah, I've never heard that song ever. but I was really surprised to, you know, when I paid attention to the lyrics. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe what this man is saying. And I mean, and the poor belly dancer, she was going crazy at it. But I felt like I had to leave the place because it was
sacrilege.
Just, yeah. I mean.
Oh boy. Yeah.
It was. I felt like laughing and also.
And crying.
It wasn't funny, but I felt like also, you know, like laughing because it was like a comedy act. You know, it's like.
Yeah. So we don't want that. Right?
Yeah, you really don't want.
Okay, well, that's great. I think we've given people some insight. Thank you for all your Arabic knowledge.
No problem, yeah.
And we'll talk to you next episode.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Okay, so here is our Arabic for Belly Dancers 101 guide. Hi.
Ahlan.
Thank you.
Shukran.
Goodbye.
Ma'a salama.
Yes.
Aywa.
No.
La'a.
Anything else?
I forgot, how are you?
Oh, how are you?
Izzayik, or kifik, or kif halik.
Oh, you're giving too many options now.
There you go.
Okay, so listeners of Belly Dance Talk Radio, you are now informed, and you can practice with our little guide there. Just replay it and try out those words. Thanks for listening to Belly Dance Talk Radio. We love to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments, or are interested in advertising on our show, email me at mayada@rogers.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to spread the word. Post the link on Facebook or Twitter, tell all your friends, like our Facebook page, and subscribe to us on iTunes. See you back here on the 15th of each month. And if you want any more info, check out www.mayada.ca. See ya!